Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
Warning.
The show can be
contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Your 1 Hour Inspirational Program. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Jesse Warren. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a good one planned for you tonight, and we're going to get started early tonight. Let me go to the world-famous Lady C. Lady C, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always an honor to have you.
Hello, you guys. How are you? It's an honor to be here.
Great. So we're going to bring you a show right now live. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon humanity each and every day. As we begin our program, help us to take from it more than what we brought to it so that we can learn it for the manifestation of your honor and glory. In Christ, we're praying. Thank you. Amen. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're talking about what it means to be created in the image of God. Do you think that that's the same as like your children being created in your image? And when we talk about, let's first begin with the word image. What does image mean? Lady C?
I'm here.
Yeah, what does the word image, how would you view the word image?
A representation of something.
Okay.
Like
all right.
A person or a thing.
Okay. All right. We're going to actually stand by. We're going to go ahead and bring in, we have Dr. Moore on, Dr. Herbert Moore. Dr. Moore, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always an honor and pleasure to have you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Dr. Moore, we're talking about what it means to be created in the image of God.
What it means?
Let's look at the word image first, and then we're going to take a look at the word created.
Image is the same word we often use today when people talk about pictures. They say, what image is that? And, of course, in this sense, being made in the image of God, and I'll break it down shortly, is not looking like God, but having the attributes of God. And we find that in Colossians 3, verse 10, and Ephesians 4, verse 22 and 23.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to actually stand by. Let's go ahead and bring in Lady Lynn. Lady Lynn, welcome to tonight's broadcast. All right, we're missing something there. We got some technical difficulties. Let's go with B. Marie. B. Marie, it's nice to have you this evening. Welcome. All right, I know I'm international, and right now we're having some technical difficulties. If our phones go out, please call back in because we'll try to get back into you. Let's go to our Sister Teresa. Sister Teresa Morton, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing just great.
Can you
Thank
hear
you.
Me?
We're bringing you live all the way from San Diego by way of Tijuana, Mexico. So we're live here tonight, and that's why we're so close to the border that the phone service here is just really horrible. As a result, I do want to say this here. Tomorrow morning's show that we normally would have, including the Bible study tomorrow, Dr. Moore, you'll want to know that. We will probably have to postpone that and next Saturday's show because I'll be over this in these areas for 2 weeks before I return back to South Florida. So we will probably have to postpone those shows until further notice, only because of the international problems that we're having with the phone service. All right, Ms. Teresa, let me ask you, when we talk about the word creation, what it means to be created in the image of God, created, when you hear the word created, what comes to your mind? And I want to give two thoughts, if you would, please. And one would be created on a spiritual, from a spiritual perspective, and then creation from a practical human perspective, if in fact you'll do that.
Okay, I'll do my best for that. But at any rate, I'd love to answer that question. What it means to be created in the image of God is summed up in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Where God says, let us make man in our image, and it's plural because Jesus was involved in creation. So he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, created he, and I'm paraphrasing, created he male, female. So in many instances, there's no confusion as to what God created you to be. If it's anything other than that, then that there is confusion. But he created us to have dominion over everything on this earth. And unfortunately, we faltered, but we were created to glorify him and to have dominion over all the earth.
So now let's look at the word created and from a human perspective. From a practical perspective, how do you identify the word created? Can I create something? Can you create something?
Yes, but in the sense of I can create my excellent split pea soup. I create it from scratch by buying the beans and letting them soak and letting them boil. But in the sense of creation, we can't align ourselves along with what God has done. He is the only source that can create life.
All right, so you're saying that we cannot procreate. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. And once again, I want to give you a disclaimer that the opinions expressed on tonight's show or any of the shows that we do are merely those of myself. I'm just giving an opinion. Those of my co-hosts, my various co-hosts, those of the callers or our featured guests. So we're not necessarily giving you any psychological advice, any legal advice. We're giving you pretty much not even so much spiritual advice, but more or less the information that we're presenting, that's the intent anyway, is for educational and informational purposes only, and it should be perceived as such. If you're seeking deeper thought in any of this, whether it's if you're looking for someone in the legal capacity, someone in the medical professional or psychological professional, or even in the spiritual profession, we're asking you to seek those individuals that are certified or qualified in the appropriate field. All the information that's presented and the opinions that are presented are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Lady C, I want to go back to you just for a second. In your opinion, we just heard Sister Teresa just say that Jesus was involved in the creation with God. Was there anyone else when he said, let us? Was it part of the Trinity? Was it the Holy Spirit? Because the three encompass the Trinity. So was it the three of them, or was it even a fourth person, an angel? In your opinion.
I feel like it has been God and Jesus, pretty much.
We're getting music in somebody's background. I'm sorry, you all. We're still able to pick up the sounds. If you're moving a pot, we can hear that. All right, Lady, I didn't hear you.
I believe it may have been Jesus and God. You know, I don't know if it was a third or a fourth person. I know it says, you know, it has the Holy Spirit there. But I think it was just Jesus and God.
All right, just the two of them. All right, we're going to stand by. Dr. Moore, let's go to you. All right, Dr. Moore, we're going to go to you now. And we're asking the question of you. In your opinion, and then you probably have scriptures to support it, when God said, let us, who was he talking to? In your opinion, who was he talking to? And do you have any definition from that?
I think Sister Teresa was right on point. He was talking to the three in the Godhead. Because you see, the Holy Spirit in verses 2 and following moves across the face of the earth. And then you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, and it talks about Christ at this point, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were," here it goes, "created by him and for him." And so it was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me give you this real quick. Psalm 139 in a physical sense. Psalm 139, verse 14. "I will praise thee, for I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." So we're made in the image of God. We're made in a wonderful way. This body is something else to behold. We're made in a spiritual sense in Colossians 3:10, in that it says that, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." So we have the ability to have knowledge, dominion. As Sister Teresa said, we're made dominion over the earth. And then we have the ability to be holy in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Dr. Moore. Give us a second here. Sister Teresa, I want to go back to you. So we're looking at the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But there was an archangel that was fourth in command. How do we know that he was not a part of that creation? Just based on the Bible scriptures, not any other material, but just based on Bible, how do we know that there was not a fourth person or fifth person for that matter?
I'm here. In creation, during the creation week, when the scripture says in Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, he said, "Let us," and I just wanted to focus real quick on likeness. The other comment that the other young lady had, Dr. Moore had also, in our likeness. So we were created to be the image of God, a reflection of God. So we're supposed to be, that's what we're supposed to be. But when he said, "Let us," it was God and Jesus. And as Dr. Moore said, the other part of that scripture, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. The earth was null and void, and darkness was on the earth. But the Spirit of God moved," that was the Holy Spirit.
All right, so are you telling me, am I hearing you all, that it was not a trinity, it was not a quadruple, it was not four people or five people, it was only the two of them, God and Jesus? Is that what I'm hearing? Not the Holy Spirit?
God, the Holy Spirit hadn't. The Holy Spirit didn't come into the ascension, the Comforter, until Jesus ascended back to heaven after the resurrection.
All right, so let's look at this here. What? If the Holy Spirit did not come till Christ ascended back to heaven, and he says, "I'll send you a Comforter," there is somewhere that the Holy Spirit came from to come here. So couldn't it be that the Holy Spirit was part of the creation?
It was Jesus and God.
I believe it was, because you look at that verse once again. I mentioned how the Spirit, we see that from the beginning, move across the face of the earth. And so you have the Spirit, you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay,
you
so
have
why do we
play, three there, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
On the Trinity, why do we place emphasis on God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? I mean, this not the Spirit of God. And I want to bring something back. Isn't it true that God is not man? He's not man. God cannot lie. But God is a spirit. Does God have hands and feet like we do? Or is it God the Son who has all of this? Dr. Moore.
Good point. And John 14, Jesus said, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's a very good point you just made, John 14, verse 1 through 6.
Right.
And Jesus comes in the form in John chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, Word was God. And so he comes, exactly. And I think you're dead on point when you ask the question in that way. You basically answer the question.
All right. So, Dr. Moore, I'm going to ask you to stand by. Lady C, let me bring you in for a second. Now, we heard what Dr. Moore just said, that you say, have you not seen me and you've seen the Father? But also Scripture tells us that no man can see God and live. We cannot see. Even Moses, when he had the communication with God, he saw the backside of God's glory. So how is it that Jesus is saying, and Dr. Moore, it would be a question for you and Sister Teresa, how is it then that Jesus says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Was that a literal saying or a figurative saying? Lady C, let me go to you.
I'm going to give y'all my honest opinion.
Okay.
I feel like God is Jesus and Jesus is God. So they're all in one, they're all one person. You know, so when God created Jesus, in my opinion, it was God who entered into this earth.
Okay. Lacey, we're going to come back to you with something to that effect. So if it was God who entered the earth, so you're saying it was God that created himself in the form of his own son that came to the earth, then is it possible that God had an advantage of a man over humanity in that he's God who came to earth? Then that means he could not have sinned, or did he lay aside his deity? Lady C, and then I'll move on.
I'm going to just say, I do believe it was God who created himself as man and came down on this earth as a baby. And I believe it was God who walked this earth.
All right, so if that's the case, then he could not have sinned. Would it mean that he had an advantage over us, in your opinion, Lady C? And you're certainly, you can pass on that if you know.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that one.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to Sister Marvel. I'm going to come to you in just a second, Dr. Moore. Sister Marvel, we've got you on the line. If you all want to chime in, please press 1 on your dial, because this is for educational and informational purposes only. You will want to ask questions, and we encourage each and every person on this line, do your own research. Do your own studying to show thyself approved. Sister Marvel, do we have you with us?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
All right, good evening, Sister Marvin. Thank you for your patience. Sister Marvin, do you think, first of all, I want to ask you, do you think it was just God and Jesus who created man in their image?
I think it was God and Jesus. The Holy Spirit had helped creation, but Jesus.
Okay. But you're separating the question now. The question is, was it God and Jesus, or was there anyone else? Now you're saying that it was God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit helped with creation. So I'm asking now, was it a trinity, or was it just a duo? Which one, in your opinion, Sister Marvel?
I think the duo did the creation of man. I think the trio did the entire beginning of creation.
Okay, now I'm really confused. We're going to ask you to stand by on that. Dr. Moore, let's bring you in once again. Dr. Moore, I mean, if Jesus came to the beginning here.
I have a passage that will answer most of that. If you let me give you this passage. It will answer most of that, just one passage. Here it goes. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The listeners get a chance to read that when you can. Verse number 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Here it goes. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And so, you know, we see that picture of, you know, even Jesus came from the Father in John 13. and, you know, and he would go back to the Father. But he came here to save mankind. He came here to die for our sins and receive back up into the Father. Now he's reigning on the right-hand side of God.
Okay.
In a seat
of all right. Dr. Moore, would you agree that it, the division, and that's probably not a good word, the divisiveness, is probably still not a good word because it's a root form of the divide. And so how do we, how did God split himself up into three different ways? Well, we don't know the answer to that one, I'm sure. But it's almost as if Jesus came in the form of God, then could he have sinned? Or did he lay aside his deity, you know, and subjected himself to be just like we are because Jesus died? And we know he rose again.
Yeah. He could have sinned, but the Bible tells us, look at Hebrews 2, verse number 17 and 18. It says, "For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." In other words, God did not take his humanness from him, if you will, but he was tempted in every point. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15, yet without what? Sin. So he hungered, he thirsted, he cried, but still he did not sin, and that's why he was the perfect sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.
All right. But what's he doing?
Dr. Moore, can I just make one little comment of what Dr. Moore said?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Jesus was God's thoughts made audible. Jesus did not sin because Jesus was our example. And then when you go back to the New Testament where it talks about, I came, and here we go back to this part, I came not to destroy the law, the prophets, but to fulfill. That's where that word comes in. That is what Jesus did. He was our example to show us how to do it, how not to sin. And the way he did it, he took off his priestly robe, his glory from heaven, and he used the word of God to fight. He fought with the word. Well, you know, when devil took him up on the high mountain and tried to get him to jump off and commit suicide, remember when he was hungry, he was hungry, and he said, I'll give you all the world if you bow down and worship me. And he used the word of God. He said, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So God, okay. Jesus was our example.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by just to research this for a second.
Amen.
Sister Marva, I want to bring you in, Sister Marva. All right, and this is going to be questions for all of you all as well. Sister Marva, Jesus,
yes,
the scriptures tell us that he was not born of a man because he was conceived through the Holy Spirit. So does that mean that he was born through his mother, earthly mother Mary, into sin, shaped into iniquity? You know, because here on earth, it's a male and female, and the female, you know, the earthly beings reproduce other earthly beings. Jesus Christ was not reproduced, or he was conceived. He was not conceived from two earthly beings. He was conceived through the Spirit of God to go into a human's womb, Mary. So does that mean that he was, does that mean that he was born into a world of sin, shaped into iniquity? How do you see that, Lady C? Sister Marva, I'm sorry, Sister Marva. Then we'll go to Lady C.
I see that as if you think of a biracial child, you would see some features of one parent and some features of the other parent. That one child carries the legacy, so to speak, of both parents. And that's what Jesus did. He carried part human, part God.
But I think we're getting away. And what happens is, remember, Jesus was not born of two earthly parents. We have not seen God. Man can't see God and live. So we have not seen God, unlike even if you mention a biracial set of parents, then you have seen the biracial set of parents. But you only saw, man only saw one human being, Mary. They did not see God, the Spirit, come into her womb. So how do you answer that, Sister Marva?
The physical part is a human part, and the life he lived was a spiritual part. And that's why he said, have I been with you so long and you've not seen the Father? By my actions, by the miracles I did. That's the Father. He's spirit, and you can't see him with your literal eyes, but you can see what he does.
Okay, now that is really a good picture of what you're saying, because it's like, okay, now we're, see, and it's just like in the legal world, they have what they call the Socratic method, where you have to ask all questions. Is that asking all the questions where you really arrive or derive at the answers? So, Sister Marva, that's a very good point that you brought up. Lady C, let me bring you in here. So if that's the case, in your opinion, could Christ really have sinned? There's a possibility then, right?
I don't know. I can't say that Christ sinned.
We're going to answer the same by. All right. Dr. Moore, let's bring you back in then. If that's the case, all right? So was he born? Let's begin here. We got a lot to cover tonight, you all. Please, if you just stay with us, if you want to get into this, press 1. Dr. Moore, was Christ born under the same conditions that we as human beings are born? Now, keep in mind, he was not born of two earthly parents, but he was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
That's a wonderful point. Jesus, and, you know, intermediary, he's our mediator. In order to be a mediator, you must know what? Both sides. So he knows the side of heaven, and he knows the side of earth. In Luke 2, verse number 52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Remember, at 12, he began to become very wise. His parents could see that. But he grew like we grow, and we're to grow in that same fashion. Yet at the same time, we know that God sent him to die for our sins, and not only did he send him to die for our sins, to show us how to live, that we can live. He was tempted in every point, yet without sin, so we can live a godly life. And now he's mediating because he knows what we're going through, and that's the beauty of him coming to earth. And then he ascended back up, and then he's reigning, interceding for us.
All right, Sister Tariqa, I want to bring you in. We're told that there's approximately 18 missing years, or 18 years that we don't hear about Christ until he was a certain age, then at the age of 33, when he was crucified. So what, if anything, accounts for those 18 years, in your opinion?
Are you saying Lady C or T?
Miss C. Miss Teresa.
Oh, not me, Teresa. Oh, okay. And so the way I look at that, and I do want to give a disclaimer, I can't make an opinion when it comes to the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of God. When this world is over, it will stand. It's the only thing that's going to stand. But I will say this. There are some things in this life that we will not know. Also, there are things in this life that we can know, but because we don't study or research, like you said, we don't know. For instance, the 18 years you're talking about, how about the wise men didn't find Jesus till he was a toddler? He was 2 years old. So,
okay.
I wanted to flip back on something, Dr.
No, but do you have any scriptures to support that Jesus was a toddler when they found him? Because remember now, we hear so, and this is why this show, and that's a good point that you brought that up, Sister Teresa, because if we're not studying for ourselves, we can easily be deceived out here. Because they would have you think that the angels, that the wise men found Jesus as a babe wrapped in a manger. And there's a whole lot of other stuff that people can get you to thinking that, oh, Jesus was born on December 25th, that Jesus happened to be a Caucasian. There's so many different myths out here, but if you are not studying for yourself, you can easily be deceived. Go ahead, Sarita. You wanted to go reflect on
a I was picking back on something Dr. Moore had brought up. He was talking about same, and so it's John 3 after 3:16, but down on verse 19 it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So Jesus is the light. He was our example, but they rejected him in his day, and guess what? We're rejecting him now. But the only the thing about the 18 years, there are some things that are feasible but not expedient, and even the Bible says that. So there are things, and the beauty of God is that there are things, you know, God forbid that we don't make it to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to see the Lord. I want to be there. But there are, you're going to be able to even ask God questions about
we're still on timers, and I don't want us to be shut down. Sister, I got to ask you this question. No. It's like, are you justifying that those 18 missing years, and then Dr. Moore, I'm going to come to you in a moment, could it have been that Constantine, the Roman emperor, took some things out of the Bible that Jesus did to make himself look so great? Sister Teresa, do you have anything on that? And do you have anything that will support
there is a famous writer out there. There's a book. It's called Patriarchs and Part.
No, but is there scripture?
Yes. Well, here's the thing with the Constantine and the 18 years. Jesus was preparing to die. He knew his purpose. He came to this earth to die for our sins. That was his main goal. He was the second Adam, because Adam failed in the Garden of Eden. We wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't even be on this phone call had Adam not sinned in the Garden of Eden. But because when they sinned and they found out they were naked, they had to kill them little lambs or rams or whatever was out there and put those skins on them. Something had to die. So Jesus' main purpose coming to this earth as God wrapped himself in humanity to die for us, for our sin. He took on our sin.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sister Barbara, I'm going to come to you. And just before we go to Dr. Moore, just for a second, Sister Barbara, it is said that in order for something to live, something must die. And that's prevalent to today's time. If we want to eat meat, some animal has to die. If we want to eat vegetables, some plant has to die. If we want to eat fruit, some plant has to die. So, I mean, this has been going on forever. So now we're saying the innocent lamb, Jesus, died for our sins. So, Sister Marvin, the question becomes, if Jesus came to restore man back to the Creator, his Father, him and his Father, then if Jesus paid the price for our sins, was that the sins that we created in the past, the present, and the future? Sister Margaret, quickly, Dr. Moore, we're going to bring you that as well, along with whatever you had to say previously. And we're almost out of time, you all.
Past, present, and future. He died for the people behind him, David, Moses, everybody from creation. And forward, me, you, and our great-grandchildren.
Sister Marvin, if that's the case, then why is it that we spend so much time in prayer and fasting and wondering and hope and depression and everything? Why do we spend so much time wondering if we're going to make it to heaven? We cannot be saved by our works or our deeds.
Exactly. We can only accept the
the sacrifice of Jesus that God sent for us, because those people behind Jesus used to kill bullocks and pigeons and rams, you know, but it was so burdensome that Jesus came and that ended. And so we just need to accept that sacrifice. Every time back then when someone sinned, they had to bring two turtle doves or they had to put a goat and send it out into the wilderness. But now we don't have to do that because Jesus made that sacrifice because he died for us so that we can live.
All right. We're going to ask you about tomorrow.
I have a question. I just had a question,
yes.
And maybe Dr. Moore can expound on this.
Okay,
Sister Marva, but if we accept his sacrifice, so then if we go out here and say, for instance, I take somebody's husband and just sleep with him and do just sin,
yeah, exactly.
So that does that mean because Jesus sacrificed, that means I'm covered? Does that mean I'm covered?
No.
That's why.
No,
so because we
should
accept Jesus' sacrifice, does that mean I can just go out here and do everything that I'm big enough and still, like it is today, I can go out here and I can, you know, just do it up and then show up at church and just praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Tell me about it.
No, because the Ten Commandments stand from ever and ever. God, a person who has committed adultery doesn't come out and brag about it because they're ashamed. It's written in their hearts. A person who killed someone, they don't come out and say, hey, you know who I killed? They run and hide. Okay? The Ten Commandments is still there.
Yeah.
And
you
don't have...
Yeah,
I think Dr. Moore has something to say.
Okay, yeah, we're going to bring Dr. Moore in just a second. But, see, the thing is, I mean, that's why it's important for you to study for yourself. Because the way that it's been presented tonight, in my interpretation, is you can do whatever you want to do and still be saved because he's already paid the price yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Right.
But, you know, so then the thing is, it's like, here we are, we're spending all this time in church, we're wondering, you cannot, there's nothing you can do. It's his grace, his mercy. And so I'm almost at the opinion that I'm thinking, we got this pain and suffering because Jesus has already paid it. It paid sin, all this pain and suffering is a result of the deprivation that Adam's sin, his fall from God's commandments, from God's command. It's the residual effect of everything that happens to man. We have to die because that's the wages of sin. Dr. Moore, I want to bring you in. We got a lot to cover you all. And Dr. Moore, I'm going to ask you to close us out tonight in about 18 minutes. Dr. Moore, go ahead with your thoughts. And I'm sorry. I hope you remember them. I know you got a lot that you want to cover. We'll extend the time.
Okay. In the sin situation, it must be in order for God to forgive us. It must be godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7, verses number 11 through 14. Godly sorrow leads to what? Repentance. Sometimes we're not sorry. We're just sorry we got caught. So that's the difference between reporting and repenting. Because I'm sorry that I hurt God and others that I hurt. And that leads to godly sorrow. It doesn't mean that when I do it again, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But as I continue to walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1, verse number 7, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all our sins. Let me go back to the 18 years of Christ not being heard of. We know, according to 2 Peter 1, verse number 3, God has given us what? All things pertaining to life and godliness. And I think Sister T mentioned this, and a very good point. God has given us those things that are expedient for us. Listen at in John 20, verse number 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not what? Not written where? In this book. But these are written that ye might, what, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have, what, life through his name. And so we may not have, you know, it's hard for us to read the 66 books. Can you imagine if we had everything that Jesus did? But God has edited, if you will, the things in which we need pertaining to life and godliness. And that's the beauty of this life. He told us how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, Ephesians chapter 5, how children can be good children, how we're to stay in our place and do what's right, and he'll bless our efforts. So we have everything we need. All we have to do is just be obedient to what we have. And when we sin, we repent.
All right. Dr. Moore, we're going to extend back to Sister Teresa. I want to bring you back in. So if I'm created, and if we're created in the image of God, do we have, in your opinion, Sister Teresa, I think we're getting music from your background. I'm sorry. Because we can pick that up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay,
yeah,
you hear me?
I can hear you now. Okay, so if we're created in the image of God, all right, which is a reflection of God, are we just an image, a reflection, or do we possess, I'm still thinking of that noise.
Okay, hold on.
All right, Dr. Moore, let's go to you for a second. And Dr. Moore, if we're created in the image of God, in his likeness, you know, there's two separate things that he's saying here. You know, let us create man in our own image, in our likeness. So you got separate words there. So does that mean that we have, and I guess you'd have to start with identifying the word likeness. And then does that mean that we have certain supernatural power as gods ourselves?
Well, that's a very good point. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, that ties into what you just said. And unto him, Ephesians 3:20, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above more than we can act or think through the power that works in us. And then you got 1 Timothy 1, verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Here goes, power and love and of a sound mind. So we're made in God's image. We have more power than any animal or anybody else. We're made dominion over the earth, and that's why God holds us accountable. We are to glorify him. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 13, led us to the conclusion of the whole matter, that is to fear God and keep his commandments. So this is the whole duty of man. Mm-hmm. I think Sister T mentioned that we're to glorify him, and that's the beauty of this life. When we learn about him, the more we know about him, the more we love him, and the more we want to please him. Hebrews 11, verse number 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he exists, and oh, doesn't he exist, and that he is a rewarder of those that, what, diligently seek him. Like
diligently.
We're doing tonight, we're seeking the Lord.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Sister Reese, I want to bring you in now, and thank you for your, your music situation. Sister Reese, I want to bring you in here now. There's times when I don't feel like getting out of bed, and I want a drink of water. And I have commanded the water to come out of the refrigerator if I want it out of the refrigerator, or from the table over there, my bottle of water, and I have commanded it to get over here so that I may drink. Sister Teresa, do you know what happened with that water that I commanded it to do with the powers that be in me? Can you imagine?
Yeah, I would say you're dabbling in a little bit of spiritualism. So I don't believe that those are the powers that God is, although you could possess that power, but God is not, it's not like you coming to him like he's a candy store or some magic hocus pocus. It's because the just shall live by faith. So it's a faith walk. And so if you can get up and get and use your hands and get the water, you get the water. God bless you to be able to have the water in your house. That's where the blessing comes from.
So you're saying then that I'm dealing in spiritualism because the water, if the water comes over to me.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So you don't think that
spiritualism.
That God could have given people power that they can command things And those things can happen.
Well, you got to look at the... Okay.
Go ahead.
When Peter was afraid to walk on the water, and Jesus was testing his faith, and the other disciples were in the boat, and they thought Jesus was a ghost. So when I tell you that spiritualism existed then and exists now, so you have to be careful, because they thought Jesus was a ghost, and he wasn't. And so, you know, that having the water to come to you has nothing to do with the power of God.
You don't think so? All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Dr. Moore.
I know so, Dr. without Moore. A shadow of doubt.
It has nothing to do with God. So I don't have that power, you're saying. So where's the power coming from if the water comes to me? Where's it coming from?
And from the scripture that Dr. Moore read, you have to believe that he is.
See, you're not answering the question, Sister T. If it's not God-like power, then what would make the water come over there to me? I'm wondering if
because
we have that power over God's hand.
Well, just like when I told you when Jesus was in the wilderness, the devil and everything that God has, the devil has a counterfeit.
Okay,
so there is a counterfeit power.
Yeah, the spiritualism that you're
if talking
about.
If the water comes over to you, that is miraculous. Like I dream a genie.
But I don't think you could use that as the type of miracle that we're talking about, that of the God, the creator of the whole entire universe.
Exactly.
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Dr. Moore. Dr. Moore, if I'm laying there in bed, the same question, and I say to that water bottle, I don't feel like getting up. But being a man of God, I feel like, water, I command you to come over here, hold on, nah, come over here to me right now that I may drink. Dr. Moore, do we have that kind of power? If we're creating
you don't
a
have
God
that
kind, in his likeness.
But God has given you the power in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 12. It says, don't forget that I gave you power to work. I gave you power to move. Here goes in Acts 17, verse 24 and following. Paul said, in him we live, move, and have our very being. And so he gives us the power to get up and move and do different things.
Amen. That's it.
So, Dr. Moore, but I'm asking, what about the water? If the water comes to me, then what about that? How do you explain that? Is that a
spiritual
thing? Is that voodoo? Is that witchcraft? And none of those things.
I don't think that would be of God. Now we see throughout the Bible, God worked miracles in the infancy of the church, and that was a purpose behind it, so that people would believe.
Okay.
But if you land up in bed, and you command water to come to you, I don't think God operates that way.
You don't think so?
It must be a purpose. It must be a purpose behind it. I have never seen that done, and if you can do that, let me see you do it.
I don't want to see him do it. I'll have to rebuke that one. I was the rebuke that in Jesus' name.
What about these? I know. These people. What about? See, is there anything too hard for God? So if that, listen, if we believe, let me just calm some of us who are listening down. The water never came to me, okay? It never came to me. I've commanded it a number of times, and it's never come to me. And if you'll notice, I use the word, and that's why it's important to study to show yourself approved, because I use the hypothetical, and I use the word if. And I use that every time, if the water came to me. But the water never came to me, no matter how many times I commanded it. So, so just to be clear with that, you all. But Dr. Moore, I do believe that God has given us power to do certain things. And it may not be to command water, because water has never come to me. And I like what you read scripture on. He's given us the power to move and do things. And so if I need to get the water, It's like I have to get up out of the bed and get the water. I have to get up and move and get the water. So,
right.
So Sister Teresa, you say you didn't want to see that happen, right?
No, I don't want to see that. I'll run the other way. But I tell you what the Lord will do for you. I tell you what the Lord will do for you. This past week in moving, I think I've damaged my rotator cuff. And I asked God to work a miraculous miracle. I asked God to work a miracle in my healing. And today I got those ice packs. I feel great. And once I go back to the doctor, I'm looking for that x-ray to be clear. I don't want the rotator cuff to be broken, slit, cut, or any of that. Because by faith, I'm trusting God for my healing.
All right. I'm going to ask you to stand by just a second. Sister Marva, I want to ask you a question, and then I want to go back to Dr. Moore with the same question. During Moses' time, there were these sorcerers. There were these people who came before Pharaoh. And I remember when they took their rods, and those rods became snakes. And, of course, Moses ultimately had the rod, and his rod became a snake that ate up those other serpents or snakes. So let me ask you, that's almost like the water. If Moses had that power in that rod to do something, then shouldn't we have certain powers to do something, even to command the water, Sister Marva?
I think that we have the powers. Jesus, before he left, he said, you shall do better things or bigger things than I did.
He said,
but we don't exercise, we're not reaching that depth of spirituality to bring those things to the fore. And secondly, God wouldn't, I don't think he would approve of you laying in your bed and saying you want water when you can get up and get it yourself. He gives us power when we can't do it for ourselves. That's
all
when
right.
God comes in.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. So, Sister Marva, if that's the case, then somebody who's laying up in bed, they can't get to the water, then would God provide the water for them, or would he send somebody over there knowing that they need the water?
He can. Most what we hear most of the time is that someone came and brought the water.
More timely man.
Because it's happened to me. It's happened to my mom when she was in her 80s, you know. But not to belittle anything, Moses didn't even know he had those powers until God showed him. And so as human beings, we probably have those powers, but we're not using them. We're not going to the depth to where it's just like how there's gold on the earth, but it's not on the surface. You have to dig deep to find it.
We're going to ask you to stand by tomorrow. Dr. Moore, I want to bring you in. Oh, wow. If I'm thinking, okay, I have two sons. They're created and they're reproduced in my image, in my likeness, meaning they, you know, their mother has said to them, wow, you act just like the father. And my two daughters, you all like, you know, your dad does this here. You know, your dad does this or your dad does that. And I can also turn and say, wow, you are just like your mom. You know, your mom does this here. There are certain characteristics. So, Dr. Moore, before you close us out, you know, and maybe you'll give us a synopsis of this here, what it means to be created in the image of God in about 3 minutes before we close the show out. But if I'm looking at my children and I'm saying, wow, I see their mother in them, and a little bit I see, because the mother told me that they were my kids, I'm just kidding about that. But because they are my kids, then I say, wow, I see certain characteristics of me in there. So then if that's the case, I'm looking at this power now that Jesus said, greater things will you do. How can we do these things, you know, and has anyone other than Elijah and Moses and several of the other prophets, and I'm talking about fast forwarding into the 21st century, can we really do these? And why, if something happened, people don't believe that that was a miracle. that was God worked through them to perform.
He said that in John 14 through 16, prior to him ascending up. And he was saying to them, I have done wonderful work, but you would do greater work. And these greater works were basically in quantity. And then he sends back down the Holy Spirit. That's why he said that. And then the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us in all truth. And then you see where they were able to do that. But keep in mind, they had to be obedient in order for them to do these great works. Obedient to what? They had to become, even though they're made in God's image, but you have to become a new creature, like we mentioned earlier, a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, new creature. In order to do the work of the Lord, you must receive the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings are found where? In Christ Jesus. So I could be made in God's image, but not a Christian, not a child of God. I know that confuses people, but when you become a child of God, you receive the tools, if you will, to do greater works.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. So if that's the case, here's what I'm thinking. If that's the case, then even when Peter came out to walk on the water, and when Peter realized, and I'm only speculating this here, that he was actually walking on water, and he took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink. And it was when Jesus reached out with his power to grab him in that direction, then he became, and he refocused his eyes on Jesus, and then he became upright to continue to meet Christ. So, Dr. Moore, Peter was not a perfect man. So how is it that you have to be perfect in order to do these miraculous things or perform certain things?
None of those men were perfect. David wasn't perfect. Man, after God's own heart, he had his issue. Why?
Yeah.
Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But God can use, he can use the ordinary to do the extraordinary if they are obedient to him. And then this is the main point that men have made. God would bless your efforts. If you do the will of God, he will bless your efforts. And that's part of what you were talking about in being able to do certain things that others can't do. You must first become a child of God, and then he will bless your efforts as you show faith in him.
Okay, excellent. We're going to ask you to stand by. Sister Marva, do you have a 15-second final thought? And then we'll go to Sister Risa with the final thought, and then Dr. Moore will close it out. Sister Marva, do you have a final thought on what it means to be created in the image of God?
Yes, I do. I believe to be created in the image of God is to know that we have his likeness and his power and his love, the three parts of God that we are mentally and physically and spiritually like God.
All right, thank you. Sister Risa, 15 seconds or less, do you have anything, because we've got to give Dr. Moore the closing time, do you have anything just quickly, what it means to be created in the image of God?
Okay, what it means to be created in the image of God is to assume the true purpose that he gave us, and that is the reason he created us, to worship him. And when we find that place, that sweet spot, it's a beautiful thing. It's a road of peace. And that's what it means to be created in his image.
All right, excellent. Dr. Moore, if you'll be so kind to close us out, we'd appreciate that.
Colossians 3:10, we mentioned that we are made in the image of God in that we have knowledge. And oh, don't we have knowledge? We only use 7 to 9% of our brain, as you mentioned earlier. So we are missing out on a lot of things we could be doing in this short lifespan. Also, we see God in people every day. Here goes, and I'll be closing on this. Matthew 25:37-40. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee and hungry, fed thee, or thirsting and gave thee drink, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee, here goes, and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of these, least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And so we see God all around us in the eyes of others. And Lord, help us to be there for others and treat them like God would have us to treat them, because we are treating God that way when we mistreat them or when we embrace them.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of you all for being a part of the program tonight. And just a reminder, we will not be here tomorrow morning for the 6:30 to 8:30 program due to the international travels that we're doing and the technical difficulties that we're encountering. We do apologize for any inconvenience that may have caused, and we certainly will let you know when programming will resume. It should be in about 2 weeks from tomorrow's date in terms of the Saturday show. We're going to continue. We're struggling with the Thursday and Friday night shows over here, so we just want you all to know that. All right, listen, we're out of time. Join us back here next Thursday night for the Dr. Spark Show, followed by next Friday night for a show that you really don't want to miss. That's that spiritual hour. And there's a lot of power associated with that. Thank you all of my co-hosts, and all of our guest callers. And those of you all we weren't able to get to, please try to call in about 3 to 5 minutes before the show starts to go into the queue. All right, until next Thursday or next Friday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, I have
good
one
night,
question.
Everyone. And good
Dr.
night, Dr. Moore, and all your co-hosts. God bless you.
Yeah, Dr. Walker, I have one question. Can you bring me a gift back?
Yes, sir. We'll do that. We'll do that.
I'm going to hold you to it.
Yes, sir. All right. Good night, everybody.
Enjoy your trip, Dr. Walker, and God bless you, and come back safe.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
You're
all.
Welcome.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night. Great show as usual. Bye-bye.
Thank you.